KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
And at 8 o'clock, we have mostly cloudy skies, and it's currently 26 degrees. We look for mostly cloudy skies. A few flurries possible in the air this morning. Otherwise, just the mostly cloudy skies today, and we'll have a high around 34. Good morning. I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News, brought to you by ASI, Audiology and Hearing Instruments in Atlantic. In local news, the Atlantic Police Department reported yesterday that 23-year-old Kayla Ashburn was arrested Wednesday. Ashburn of Atlantic was taken into custody for unlawful possession of prescription drugs and for driving while revoked. She was booked into the Cass County Jail. I'll have more news in just a moment. News time is 8:01.
How did your shopping trip go with Grandma today?
Good, but...
But what? What's wrong, honey?
I think Grandma's mad at me.
Mad? She didn't say anything to me. Why do you think she's mad?
Well, when we were in the store, I wanted her to come and see the pretty bracelet, but she just kept walking away.
But did you say anything to her?
Yes, I said, "Grandma, Grandma, come look at this. It's so pretty." And she didn't even look at me. I don't know what I did. I don't want Grandma to be mad at me.
Oh, honey, I bet Grandma just didn't hear you.
When you can't hear the people in your life, it can cause hurt feelings and confusion, and you may be totally unaware of the circumstance that caused the hurt. This is Doug Leonard, audiologist at ASI. When you struggle to hear what those around you are saying, or if you don't hear them at all, your lack of response may be interpreted as indifference, coldness, or even anger. This can cause problems in your work, social life, or worse yet, your family relationships. If you even think you have a problem, don't risk damaging the relationships that are important to you. Schedule a hearing evaluation today at ASI, with offices in Atlantic, Audubon, Manning, and Carroll.
A mechanical malfunction of some sort was to blame for a semi-trailer fire early Thursday morning on Interstate 80 here in Cass County. Firefighters from Atlantic and Marney were called to the scene on I-80 westbound to the 52-mile marker just before 6 a.m. Thursday. Atlantic firefighter Gene Schmeling told KJAN News yesterday morning that a tire burned out on the trailer of the semi, which was hauling lime. The flames then spread to the rest of the trailer, causing a substantial amount of damage. The semi's driver managed to separate the tractor from the trailer and prevent further damage. Firefighters were on the scene for about an hour. No injuries were reported. The right lane of I-80 westbound was blocked for a little more than 4 hours while crews worked to remove the damaged trailer and clean up the mess. Cass County Emergency Management Coordinator Mike Cannon had said the wreck was finally cleared up by around 11:45 a.m. Firefighter Gene Schmeling said it's not clear how the fire began, but it was most likely caused by a blowout, a bad brakes, or worn bearings. A traffic stop on Interstate 80 near Council Bluffs Wednesday afternoon resulted in the arrest of two Ohio men, the seizure of a small amount of drugs, and drug paraphernalia. Pottawatomie County Sheriff Jeff Danker told KJAN News the arrests occurred after Deputy Brian Miller pulled over a 2012 Chevy Impala for speeding on I-80 westbound at around 3:15 p.m. Wednesday.
He went up the vehicle and to speak with the driver, and he could smell an odor of marijuana coming out of the vehicle. So he, using it as probable cause, he went ahead and searched the vehicle, found a baggie of marijuana in there and rolling papers. He continued to search and found a, we don't have the exact count, we think it's probably just under $50,000 in cash in the vehicle.
The occupants of the car, 28-year-old Antoine Parker and 27-year-old Sean Petrak, both of Canton, Ohio, were arrested for possession of a controlled substance for personal use and brought to the Pottawatomie County Jail in Council Bluffs, where they were being held on $1,000 bond each. The cash was seized and being held as evidence pending court proceedings. A crime scene technician of the Pottawatomie County Sheriff's Office received a bit of a scare Wednesday afternoon while she was conducting a crime scene processing and inventory of a recovered stolen vehicle, which was parked at the County and City of Council Bluffs impound lot on South 15th Street in Council Bluffs. Sheriff Jeff Danker said the unidentified crime scene tech discovered a round cylinder in the vehicle, which she thought at first was a red fire extinguisher.
She pulled it out and it had wires coming out of it, and it had kind of a digital readout on the top. And so she was concerned. She didn't know. It was something a little different she'd seen before, and since there was wires coming out of it. So we called out the bomb team, and they responded. Our deputies and then one of the Council Bluffs police officers, they put it on the bomb suit, went up, and used a disruptor while it was still in the vehicle to shoot it in there. It's a disintegrating round, and it blows it open.
At that point, Danker said they were pretty sure it was not an explosive, but it did give the appearance of a bomb.
It didn't open it up quite enough, and so they then used a rope, pulled it out of the vehicle, pulled it into a safe place there, away from the vehicle, and then use the disruptor on it again, just to open it up a little bit more.
And that's when they definitely knew it was not a bomb. The bomb squad was on the scene for about 2 hours from 4 to 6 p.m. Wednesday. Well, Sears says it will sell 11 stores in 9 states, including stores in Coralville and Council Bluffs. The stores will be sold to mall operator General Growth Properties, which owns the malls in which the stores are located. The deals are expected to close within the next couple of months. Sears will continue to operate the stores, though, into 2013, with the final closing dates to be announced later this year. The Council Bluffs store is located in the Mall of the Bluffs. Sears posted a fourth-quarter loss yesterday. Its revenue fell 4% as demand in categories like appliances and consumer electronics fell. The store sales are part of a plan to raise cash to help offset poor performance. The American Red Cross chapter that serves Southwest Iowa is hosting what's called a Mass Care Boot Camp starting next week for those interested in volunteering. Chapter spokeswoman Allison Roach said the free event is a great way for those who are considering getting involved to learn about the program.
That's a chance for new volunteers to get to know the Red Cross and think of what they might fit into in the organization.
Roach says those who attend the boot camp will see what options are available to volunteers. How a person serves depends on their availability and lifestyle. She says that some volunteers are able to travel and go to disaster sites for several weeks at a time, like last year's tornado in Joplin, Missouri.
We have volunteers who respond periodically to big disasters in other states. Other volunteers respond weekly to house fires.
Roach says those attending the boot camp will be able to see what positions are available. She notes that volunteers are not assigned to certain areas, but select how they want to help.
What a volunteer is available to do and what they want to train for is entirely up to that individual.
The goal of the free boot camp is to boost the number of local volunteers after last year's busy storm season and Missouri River flooding. The Red Cross classes are held February 27th through March the 4th, and they'll be held in Omaha and Council Bluffs. You can learn more at redcrossomaha.org. Well, Senate Democrats have endorsed legislation that would set aside $20 million in state tax money over the next 3 years to help expand workforce training at community colleges. Some of the money could be used to provide scholarships to students in courses that teach high-demand skills, and like welding. Senate President Jack Kibbe, a Democrat from Emmitsburg, says there's a shortage of skilled workers in Iowa.
Today we got the jobs. We just got to train this workforce and keep those people here.
Senator Bill Dix, a Republican from Shell Rock, says while the idea is laudable, the $20 million price tag is a problem.
We simply don't have that much money to address that situation right now.
Senators voted along party lines, with Democrats supporting the spending and Republicans opposing it. Elsewhere in western Iowa news, authorities say a fugitive from Sioux City has been kicked out of Mexico and taken into custody by U.S. Marshals. 24-year-old Ralph Rogers is being returned to Sioux City for trial. Charges against Rogers include kidnapping and being a felon in possession of a firearm. Rogers had been freed on a pretrial release program in February in anticipation of a trial in July, but he left the area and was found in Mexico. Marshals say Mexico ejected Rogers last week because of the fugitive warrant that had been issued. A federal judge has ordered a Sioux City man to continue to community service for skipping jury duty. U.S. District Judge Mark Bennett on Wednesday ordered Dallas Thompson to perform 40 hours for not showing up for jury duty in federal court on December 19th. According to the judge's ruling, Thompson returned a call from the clerk's office that day and left a message that he had forgotten. He later failed to respond to two letters requesting a written explanation. Bennett ordered Thompson to court. Thompson told the judge he didn't show up because he didn't think, quote, that it was important. Thompson must complete his community service within 6 months. If he doesn't, he faces a 3-day jail sentence and a $1,000 fine. And an Iowa man who robbed a Cedar Rapids bank while on supervised release for a 1990 bank robbery has been given 24 years in prison. 67-year-old Robert Rutan of Cedar Rapids had pleaded guilty to the June 3rd robbery of the Hills Bank and Trust. Rutan was sentenced Thursday in Sioux City by U.S. District Judge Mark Bennett. Rutan was given 20 years for the robbery and 4 years for violating the terms of his supervised release. He was on supervised release for a 1990 bank robbery when he robbed the Cedar Rapids bank. Rutan did not display a gun during the Cedar Rapids robbery, but he threatened the teller in a note. He almost got $5,000 out of the haul. He was arrested June the 20th in a St. Louis suburb. Taking a look at world headlines at this hour, a senior diplomat attending an international conference in Tunisia said the group calling itself the Friends of Syria will call for the United Nations to begin planning a Syria peacekeeping mission. The diplomat says the group will endorse preparations for the UN to send civilian police to Syria once hostilities are over. The diplomat said the envisioned operation would occur in a permissive environment and would not be a military intervention. NATO's top military commander in Afghanistan is telling his troops now is not the time for revenge. U.S. General John Allen, at the forward operating base near where two U.S. soldiers were killed yesterday in riots over the burning of Korans at an American base, thousands of Afghans have turned out for a pair of protests in eastern Afghanistan today. And two U.S. senators are in Cuba, where they met with President Raul Castro. Senator Patrick Leahy says he and Senator Richard Shelby also visited imprisoned American Alan Gross, who's accused in Cuba of being a spy. Leahy said the senator is in his case with the Cuban president. Leahy says there's a long way to go to get Gross released and that Raul Castro raised the issue of five Cuban agents serving jail terms in the U.S. I'll have a check of the funeral announcements coming up next.
How did your shopping trip go with Grandma today?
Good, but...
But what? What's wrong, honey?
I think Grandma's mad at me.
Mad? She didn't say anything to me. Why do you think she's mad?
Well, when we were in the store, I wanted her to come and see the pretty bracelet, but she just kept walking away.
But did you say anything to her?
Yes, I said, Grandma, Grandma, come look at this. It's so pretty. And she didn't even look at me. I don't know what I did. I don't want Grandma to be mad at me.
Oh, honey, I bet Grandma just didn't hear you.
When you can't hear the people in your life, it can cause hurt feelings and confusion, and you may be totally unaware of the circumstance that caused the hurt. This is Doug Leonard, audiologist at ASI. When you struggle to hear what those around you are saying, or if you don't hear them at all, your lack of response may be interpreted as indifference, coldness, or even anger. This can cause problems in your work, social life, or worse yet, your family relationships. If you even think you have a problem, don't risk damaging the relationships that are important to you. Schedule a hearing evaluation today at ASI with offices in Atlantic, Audubon, Manning, and Carroll.
In the funeral announcements, Kelly Burmeister, age 49, of Exira, died Tuesday at the Colonial Manor in Oneida. Memorial services for Kelly Burmeister will be held today at 10:30 at St. Mary's Catholic Church in Oneida. Hockenberry Family Care in Oneida has arrangements. Janice Otto, age 84, of Manning, died Tuesday at the Manning Plaza. Funeral services for Janice Otto will be today at 10:30 at Zion Lutheran Church in Manning. Odie Funeral Home in Manning has arrangements. Clarence Summers, age 81, of Atlantic, died Tuesday at the Colonial Manor in Oneida. Memorial services for Clarence Summers will be at 11 a.m. at the Zion Lutheran Church in Atlantic. Hockenberry Family Care Funeral Home of Atlantic has arrangements. John Hatfield, age 50, of Oneida, died February 10th. A memorial service for John Hatfield will be tomorrow at 10 o'clock at the Oneida American Legion Hall. Hockenberry Family Care in Oneida has arrangements. Lorraine Ely, age 86, of Lyman, died Sunday at the Exira Care Center. Graveside services for Lorraine Ely will be Saturday at 11:30 at the Evergreen Cemetery in Oneida. Hockenberry Family Care in Oneida has the arrangements. Frank Silk, age 93, of Griswold, died Saturday at the Griswold Care Center. Funeral services for Frank Silk will be tomorrow at 1:30 at the Dune Funeral Home in Griswold. Ramona Strickland, age 90, of Madrid and formerly of Panora, died Wednesday at the Madrid Home in Madrid. Funeral services for Ramona Strickland will be held on Monday at 10:30 at the Twig Funeral Home in Panora. Merlin Umland, age 84, of Manning and formerly of Denison, died Wednesday at the Manning Regional Health Care Center. Funeral services for Merlin Umland will be on Monday at 10:30 at the Zion Lutheran Church in Manning. Odie Funeral Home in Manning has arrangements. Barbara Peterson, age 78, of Atlantic, died Thursday at the Cass County Hospice Center in Atlantic. Memorial services for Barbara Peterson will be on Monday at 11 o'clock at the United Church of Christ in Atlantic. Hockenberry Family Care in Atlantic has arrangements. Vincent Robert Stinn, age 96, of Otobolt and formerly of Erling, died Tuesday at the Otobolt Nursing and Rehab Center. A mass of Christian burial service for Vincent Stinn will be on Monday at 11 o'clock at St. Joseph's Catholic Church in Erling. Paulie Jones Funeral Home in Harlan is in charge of the arrangements. Linda Sue Crawford, age 64, of Avoca, died Wednesday at Atlantic Nursing and Rehab. Graveside services for Linda Sue Crawford will be Tuesday at 2:30 p.m. Tuesday at the Dallas-Fort Worth National Cemetery in Dallas, Texas. Paulie Jones Funeral Home in Avoca is assisting the family with arrangements. And Alan Hines, age 77, of Elliott, died Tuesday in Omaha. Services for Alan Hines are pending at the Dune Funeral Home in Griswold. Our news was brought to you by ASI, Audiology and Hearing Instruments at 601 Poplar in Atlantic. Call 243-5796. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.